The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 373 of the World's Most Dangerous Podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me again this week, my favorite author of the Big 50, the men and moments that made the Cincinnati Reds, Chris Garber. How are you, Chris?
That's me.
It is you.
Yeah. Doing well, thank you.
Good. Do you know what I did this week, this past week, Chris?
Played in a ping pong tournament.
That's every week. Come on. You know me
better. Sorry, right? you didn't say guess, did you? The answer to your question is no.
Right. That's exactly right. I went to a Major League Baseball game.
Cincinnati Reds?
No, come on. You know better than that.
There's other teams involved?
Other teams involved. They're both American League teams, actually.
Don't recognize it.
It's a different league. You don't need to think about it.
Junior circuit.
The junior circuit, right. I watched the Tampa Bay Rays and the Toronto Blue Jays. And you know what? It was fun.
Tell us about Tampa's Tampa Dome.
So I've been there a couple times, but I hadn't been there in, gosh, like 17 years. And it's fine. I don't dislike it as much as most people do, but just sitting in a stadium, though, and it's really loud, even though it was only, you know, whatever, a quarter. I don't know what the attendance was, you know, a quarter full, whatever they were allowing in, spaced out. But just being in it, sitting in the stands and watching an actual Major League game. I mean, almost a Major League game. This was the American League. But it was good, man. It was good. It was fun. My brother and I just really got a kick out of just actually being in a stadium again. So
it's pretty great. Now, the one thing I don't remember because I don't pay attention to the American League, is Toronto still based in Florida?
Yeah, I think in Dunedin is what I understand.
Are they playing home games at the spring training park? Are they playing at the Rays Stadium, or what are they doing?
That's a good question. I know that the Rays were the home team in this game.
There's probably a very easy answer to this question for anyone who's a baseball fan.
Right.
And here I am asking it.
Yeah, we're barely baseball fans here. We're Reds fans, and that's barely baseball. But I will say, you should watch the Blue Jays if you get a chance, because they have this one reliever named Jordan Romano. So, Obviously, anybody named Romano is a good reliever. But this guy, before every pitch, he's crazy. We were like near the Blue Jays bullpen where we were sitting. Welcome to the World's Most Dangerous Blue Jays Podcast. And this guy was warming up, and he would like squat down before every pitch. And I thought, well, maybe just kind of trying to get stretched out or something. And then he went on the mound, and before every single pitch, he would like do this. Go look him up. It's crazy. This like squat, and the whole crowd would start yelling. Right as soon as he did that, everybody screamed squat, and I don't want to make too much of this, but it felt good to be in it wasn't a huge crowd, obviously, but to be in a park and everybody kind of coming together. And I don't know, man, it was a freaking blast.
That's fun. We saw the Blue Jays play their second to last, I think, spring training game down in Florida. And they got a fun bunch of guys on that team.
They actually good do. Players. Yeah. Yeah. A bunch. All of them are like, you know, second generation major leaguers, but,
Yeah.
We got to talk about the Reds, though, don't we?
That's what they tell us.
that's what
it says on the package.
That's what our corporate overlords are telling us. The Cincinnati Reds, you know, since the last time I was on the podcast, last week it was Bill Lack and our buddy Chris Welsh, but the Reds lost 7 in a row. Dropped the final game of the Cleveland series, got swept by Arizona and St. Louis, and just really kind of didn't look good the whole time. But then they take 2 out of 3 from the defending world champs in Los Angeles. And I was talking with somebody the other day, and I thought my comment was just, yeah, this is kind of who this team is. They're going to be up and down. They're going to be inconsistent, but you know, they're competitive most of the time. We just need to settle in for a kind of an up and down season. Is that a fair assessment of the Cincinnati Reds?
Sounds like it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was busy all weekend, so I paid no attention to that Cardinals series at all. Like I didn't even guess there was some controversies and all that kind of stuff, but my son was in a baseball tournament. So I was watching a lot of 11U action. So in my book, they had a rough series against the Diamondbacks, and then they beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3. So that's all that counts for me.
There you go. Just ignore those other three. I was
out of sight, out of mind.
I was in the state of Florida that weekend, but I did, because I'm dedicated to our listeners here, I mean our viewers, I did kind of try to pay attention to what was going on and follow everything. And as the Cardinals, if ever there's a series not to watch, at St. Louis, get swept, no thanks. But, you know, again, they look bad and the sky's falling. And they come back and, you know, I know the Dodgers are kind of struggling right now, but still, these are the world champs and to me, the best team in the league. And they win 2 out of 3. That's baseball. That's baseball.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I mean, even the Cardinals games, it wasn't like they got smoked.
Yeah, they lost 5-4, 2-0, and 5-2. I mean, you know, that happens. Arizona, they lost, 5-4, 8-5 in 10 innings, and 14-11 in 10 innings. So, you know, I just think that the Reds aren't really different than what I thought they were before the 7-game losing streak. They're just, it's a flawed team, and okay, whatever. We're going to deal with this stuff. You know, they're going to go on a 7-game winning streak at some point, maybe. And just, it is what it is. Someone once said, I can't remember who it was now, a team is never as good as they look when they're, you know, at their best, and they're never as bad as they look at their worst. And that is exactly what we need to remind ourselves with this team, I think.
I think that's probably fair.
There we go.
I mean, they've got obvious things they got to work. I mean, they got to work out this bullpen. I still think Eugenio Suarez is going to be a Major League Baseball player some more. So, you know, he's going to have to get things rolling. But, you know, they've got a credible enough offense with enough different kinds of weapons now that they shouldn't go weeks upon weeks without scoring runs.
Yeah, I think so. And we saw some of that last year, but I don't know. I just don't. I agree. I think they're good enough. Let's talk about those two things you just mentioned as we lead off here. We'll start with the bullpen. This bullpen, you know, I keep saying.
Can we just talk about TJ Antone?
If we're just talking about TJ Antone, we'll be happy.
Is that okay? Let's make this a TJ Antone cast.
Listen, can we go ahead and talk about him though for real? How incredible! I mean, have you ever seen anything like this guy who comes out of nowhere and he's got this crazy spin rate or whatever? And yeah, again, we're just talking about seven appearances, 13.2 innings pitched. But golly, every time I watch that guy, I think, how does anybody hit him?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's like full on. I'm 100% convinced he's legitimate. Like,
yeah, me too.
Really, really good.
This is not a small sample size thing, right?
He's out of nowhere, but he's also, I mean, he's a fifth round pick. It's not like he's like some guy that, you know, tried out for the team the other day or something.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Let's not pretend like he went from playing in a beer league softball league to the big leagues, but man, he blows me away. But man, the rest of that bullpen, I mean, you know, Carson Fulmer, whatever, he's been okay. And other than that, yikes. I guess the place we need to start is Amir Garrett, right?
Yeah.
What do we think?
No avoiding it.
What do we think about Amir Garrett, who has a 12.27 ERA that actually improved after his last appearance?
He didn't forget how to pitch. He's not hurt. He's just, you know, has no confidence in his slider right now, and that's kind of a bad thing for a baseball pitcher who comes in and has a limited amount of time to succeed.
Right, right, right. My thing with Amir Garrett is that, and I said this a couple weeks ago, I think, but I like Amir Garrett. Amir Garrett's going to be fine. I think David Bell needs to pitch him. Maybe not in tight spots right now, but we don't need to send him down to the minor leagues, that type of thing. Or, you know, I guess they'd have to. I don't know if he's got options. But, you know, Amir Garrett's Amir Garrett. But sometimes we kind of get caught up in the fact that Amir Garrett is kind of boisterous and, you know, he talks a lot. And I love his antics. You know, I love the way he gets excited on the mound when he strikes some guy. I love all that stuff. I'm 100% in favor of guys having fun. but maybe he's a little overrated. You know, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, I think you're right. I think to some degree. All right. So I want to start by saying, don't worry that much about Amir Garrett. Amir Garrett's not J.J. Hoover.
Right.
This isn't the, you know, the horrible, horrible, brutal end of things. But Amir Garrett is also not an elite pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, he's cool. And I think his demeanor and his you know, willingness to comment on things and willingness to put himself out there, at least before.
Before he deleted his Twitter.
Yeah, kind of elevated his reputation and his perception around here. But, you know, he's been pretty good.
Yeah.
For a year. You know, I mean, he wasn't real good in 2018. Now he had a really good 2019 and was pretty dominant last year in a tiny amount of innings. But he's not top tier shutdown reliever, and we shouldn't expect him to be.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's a guy I want in my bullpen. I have no issues with him being in my bullpen. I love the quote unquote antics. I'm an Amir Garrett fan. The only thing I don't like about Amir Garrett is the whole St. John's thing. But we just don't need to confuse him with a top shelf reliever. And if you think he's a top shelf reliever, you've got the burden of proof here, because he never really has been. He's been an inconsistent reliever who I think is probably a somewhat above average relief pitcher who I'm happy to have in my bullpen. But, you know, he's far worse than a Rosell Iglesias, if we're going to make a comparison.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be 29 on Sunday, and his career wins above replacement is 0.2.
That's higher than mine.
So it is. And like I said, I that overstates it, I think.
Yeah.
But this is not – let me say it this way. There's a bigger – well, I don't know if that's true because he's got a really bad ERA. But I was going to say there's a bigger difference between Eugenio Suarez's talent and his current performance than there is for Garrett.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, I see where you're going with that one. I mean, and we'll talk about Suarez in a moment, but
I mean,
Suarez has shown that
he's not going to be 12 all year.
Right. Suarez has shown that he's, you know, not elite necessarily, but significantly above average. Amir Garrett has shown it in a small streak. And again, maybe that's just a function of being a reliever, but he's never done anything to make me think he's other than a somewhat above average reliever who is, you know, has been inconsistent his whole career. And, you know, I don't know. Counting on him to be your closer is just, it's tough. It's just, as he's shown. And I hate to see him going through these struggles, not just because it's causing the Reds to lose the games, but, you know, I mentioned he's evidently deleted his Twitter. I don't know, but, because if any of our audience is out there dishing out abuse to these players, like Amir Garrett's not trying as hard as he can to win games. It's just ridiculous. But
yeah, like this, get a life. You know what I mean? Like
it's crazy.
Like seriously, go get a different hobby. Like leave people alone.
Yeah, I mean, if you scream at some guy because he gave up a home run, it didn't make me happy that he gave up a home run. But you know, was he trying to make the Reds lose?
If you feel that you need to personally tell a major league player how you feel about their performance, open up a file on your computer called creedthoughts.com and write it all in there.
Excellent office reference there, yes. Or you know what? Go to the ballpark. After the game, find him and tell him.
Don't do that. That's
not
good advice.
Do not do that.
Train professional only.
Well, the point is that these, you know, keyboard warriors are never going to do that in real life, you know. Go talk to Amir Garrett. What I'm going to tell Amir Garrett is that, you know, hey, you're trying. You sucked, but you're trying.
Good job.
Yeah. Good job, good effort.
Good job, good effort.
it's not just... But, you know, go ahead.
Right. So, I mean, I think you take it back on expectations. If Amir Garrett's your closer, he's much more David Weathers than he is Rysel Iglesias.
Oh, gosh, you went there.
Well, I mean, Weathers was the closer, and he was what he was, and he did a pretty good job, but you just knew you weren't going to get a guy who was going to come out and strike three dudes out on 11 pitches and head to the showers.
Yeah, it was going to be an adventure. And again, this is something that I'm going to say all season long, so forgive me for repeating myself, but this is what I said on the Twitters, which is just, that's a garbage website. But every time you want to get mad at this bullpen for some individual pitcher screwing up, or every time you want to get mad at David Bell for bringing in the wrong reliever, direct your ire at Bob Castellini, who forced the front office to give away two functional relief pitchers. Whatever you believe about them, they're better than some of these guys that are in the bullpen, which changes the whole dynamic of the bullpen. Rosell Iglesias and Archie Bradley, I'm talking about. And we can talk about how they've not done well or whatever, been injured. But the fact is, Bob Castellini decided he was not going to pay for a bullpen. And so this is going to be a problem all season long. Am I completely off base there, Chris?
Well, I mean, I think you're ignoring the presence of Noe Ramirez. But other than that, you're right.
No way.
Noe Ramirez, a racer.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, that's
the thing. Those guys, you can say, well, Iglesias wasn't great, and you can say Archie Bradley was over whatever. Doesn't matter. Those guys were better than what they've got, and they gave them away for nothing.
Well, look, when I say change the dynamic, if you have Rosell Iglesias and Archie Bradley, you don't have Cam Bedrosian or CNL Perez. And I think both those guys are actually have a chance to be. Well, Bedrosian is no longer with us, but I mean, he's
along with the Reds.
Yeah, he's alive, right. Yeah.
Nothing tragic has happened, folks.
And CNL Perez, I like his stuff. I think he can't throw strikes consistently, so I worry about that. But again, those are guys that are not even on the major league team. And so Amir Garrett is either closer. Well, no, maybe he's your seventh inning guy. It changes everything. So yep. So blame Castellini.
I like it.
Wasn't that a song that was nominated for an Oscar from South Park? Blame Castellini.
Could be. It could be.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it was Blame Canada. I don't know. All right, so let's tackle. I don't want to do this, but before we move on to the infield, Sal Romano. Is it just time to just cut bait with Sal Romano?
I've always been low on Sal Romano. Sorry, buddy. I don't know. I mean, has he ever done it? No.
No, not in the big leagues.
No, not in the big leagues. I mean, he just doesn't, like most of us, and he's much closer than most of us, but I just don't think he has the stuff to pitch effectively in the major leagues in 2021.
Yeah, he's made it there. You know, good work. Right now, he's got to get him 13 runs in 10 games. That's not good for a reliever. I don't know. I just... he's another guy that's probably not here if we don't give away relievers for free. I hate it because he seems like a good guy. And, you know, I was there in the park for his major league debut. That was fun. But
Connecticut crowd in the house.
Oh, it was exciting. Terribly exciting. But, you know, if his career is coming close to being over, I can always say I was there when it started.
That's something. You got that ticket framed.
That's right. I do, as a matter of fact. All right, Gino. We got to talk about Eugenio Suarez because this is what, you know, a week and a half ago or something, I expressed some surprise that, man, people started dropping into my comments just wanting to complain about Eugenio Suarez. And I get it. He's been bad, but everybody's like, send him to the minor leagues or just bench him or whatever. And no team on earth is going to bench Eugenio Suarez, a former all-star who has been, you know, really good. And he's had 100 bad at-bats, well, 88 at-bats, 100 bad plate appearances this year. And when I say bad at-bats, he's been bad. 125 average, 228 on base, 273 slugging. I mean, he leads the league in strikeouts right now. He led the league in strikeouts in 2019. Of course, that year he was, you know, productive. What do we make of Eugenio Suarez? He's got to return to being Eugenio Suarez at some point, right?
I think so. I mean, it seems there's never been you know, there's never been that any explanation for this. There's never been a, well, he was hurt, you know, he needs glasses, he got, you know, he ate a bad fish sandwich. There's never been any explanation for, like, why he just kind of fell off a cliff. So I think he'll be back. I got nothing, man.
I know.
There's no explaining it. There's no rationalizing it. There's no explaining it away. I mean, he gained weight. He lost weight. He was still lousy. I don't think that was it.
He's still fun. Seems like a fun guy
he
to be around.
He still says Jim Day gratuitously, which is probably all I need.
It's my favorite thing about him, to be honest. Every conversation with Jim Day. How you doing today, Jim Day?
Good night, Jim Day. That was the one he did the other day that I just...
Yeah, beautiful. I look at his numbers for the last 2 years. Last year was an abbreviated season, and he started to hit better at the end of the year. So I was like, well, maybe full season he probably comes out of it and we're fine. But his overall number's not good. And then this year, basically the last 2 years, what we're looking at is 80 games at this point. So half a season. And it's a 178 average, 286 on base, 409 slugging, OPS plus 78, and struck out 105 times in 80 games. I mean, I still
not
can't.
Not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob. I can't come around to the fact that he just lost it. And I know it seems to me like he hit 49 home runs in 2019. So now he feels like and he said it this year, he wants to hit 50. I don't know if that's something to do with why he's striking out more. He's always struck out a lot.
He wants to hit 50 as in like 125, his current average all the way down.
Yes, he wants to keep going all the way down to a batting average of
050.
050. Everyone makes too much of April statistics. But sheesh, this is a bad April, and it's getting more difficult to argue that he's going to be the Geno that we saw, you know, in 2018 when he was an all-star, 2019 when he hit 49 home runs.
You know, if you told me a month ago or 6 weeks ago that the Reds were going to have a shortstop hitting 125,
right?
I would have believed it.
I would have too. Kyle Farmer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you had to bet the ranch, you bet on him being closer to his you know, historical average season, or you know, what closer to what we're seeing now?
Yeah, so his career average is about an 800 OPS.
And right.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, he was close to that last year, even when you look at just OPS.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his average of his three good years, when from 2017, 18, and 19, it was more like almost a 900 OPS. And I don't know if he's going to do that. I wish he would.
Well, I mean,
but maybe more like you know, last year is what we're looking at, I think, is the optimistic case right now.
Well, right, yeah, which is an average. Well, he was an average hitter. I don't know if I'm ready to say he's just average or even below average. But, you know, we also need to concede that you talk about his best years there. He's going to be 30 in July. And so, you know, I don't think his career's over, but you don't anticipate someone getting better, improving at this point. So we need to hope for some resurgence, but I still can't wrap my brain around the fact that he just fell completely off a cliff all of a sudden and there's no explanation. That doesn't happen, does it?
It doesn't happen. I mean, well, here's the funny thing. Like, you know, the prototypical example of falling off a cliff is Dale Murphy, right? That's the kind of the gag that Dale Murphy went from being an MVP level player to being out of the game. But the truth of it is Dale Murphy was really, really good through age 31. And then from 32 to 35, he was average.
Yeah, that's
like, it wasn't, you know what I mean? It was a cliff, I guess, but it landed at a pretty high plateau.
Right.
Not anything like you're seeing with Suarez.
Although Suarez was never at the heights that he was, but seriously, that's a really good, and I've been waiting for 373 episodes to have a Dale Murphy conversation. Thank you.
Yeah.
Before we get on to a little bit of the news of the week, can we talk just a moment about the best hitter in the Cincinnati Reds organization? Kyle Farmer. I mean, wait a minute, no, Jesse Winker.
Man, you could go ahead and scale that claim up a couple levels. Man,
is he? I mean, he's an all-star, right? I mean, he's one of the best hitters in the league, right?
Oh yeah, he's got to be an all-star. I mean, he is. I don't know what kind of credit and attention he's going to get, but wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking. I mean, he's hit right now. He's hitting 377. Again, we're just talking small samples, whatever. First month of the year, 422 on base, 6 home runs. But gosh, I just watched that guy, and I'm like, he has an idea at the plate. And we're now talking 2020 and 2021, the last two seasons. You know, 296 average, 398 on base, 597 slugging, 154 OPS plus in basically half a season. I mean, and 27 years old.
Those are Dale Murphy hitting numbers, by the way.
There you go, right? It's not the mid-80s anymore, but...
Well, I mean, OPS plus, that's right. About how Murphy was hitting against the league.
Are we at a point where we start to think we're starting to run now 2 or 3 years where Jesse Winker is legitimately one of the best hitters in the National League and needs to be considered a legit star? I think so.
I think so. And what's really interesting is he's not the same kind of hitter. It's not like he's just traded doubles for home runs or something. I mean, his walk rates are like half of what they were when he came up.
Yeah.
At least this year. I mean, he's just seeing everything and he's hitting pitches. It's not like he's getting like pitchers are like, well, I'm just going to throw Winker at mistakes at this spot. He's hitting pitches high, low, in, out, all over the place. And he's hitting them all hard.
Yeah, he's I think it's a good point. He's a different type of hitter than I expected coming up. I thought he was going to be more in the Joey Votto vein coming up. Not as good as Joey Votto, and the hope was that some of those doubles would turn into home runs. But no, he's I don't know. I see a guy last year and this year who is just I don't know. I'm a huge Jesse Winker fan, and I wonder if there's not still room for growth because he had his age 26 season kind of cut short. And I just see a guy that looks the part, looks like a star. 190 OPS plus this year. That's not bad, right?
That's not bad.
Is there anyone on the team that's even close in terms of having a claim on the best hitter? I mean, Nick Castellanos has been good. No issues with him, but I don't know.
Winker's miles ahead of all of them. And it's just obvious. I mean, this is an eyeball test, too. You don't have to look at the stat sheet. You just watch. I mean, Castellanos is a lot of fun and does a lot of damage, but he also looks bad, you know, 10 times a week.
Yeah, Jesse Winker doesn't get a bad at bat very often.
No.
And he puts the barrel on the ball. Oh, Jesse Winker. All right, let's get into the news of the week really quickly. Then we'll answer some viewer mails. Not a lot of actual news other than just, you know, because they're playing games. But the Reds placed Aristides Aquino on the 60-day injured list and created a spot on the 40-man roster for Vladimir Gutierrez, who was suspended for 80 games for testing positive for a PED. So Aristides Aquino, I mean, I hate it for him, but I just think it's time to forget about Aristides Aquino being a piece of a good Reds team. Fair or unfair?
Aquino was a fun... Turns out he was a fun... I won't say novelty act, but he was on, you know, a fun summer replacement series on TV.
Right. It was a fun month. You
know, we enjoyed V quite a bit, but we didn't really want to see several seasons of V.
Right. Yeah, I just... He is what he is, and I hate it. You know, again, he's a guy that I didn't mind having on the roster. I think he is as your fifth outfielder. He has some pop, and I like having the guy. But I don't know. This injury comes at the worst time for him when he's trying to prove that he's a big league player. So
he's got nowhere to go. I mean, he's got nowhere to go on this roster. Remember, they're gonna have Shogo Akiyama back soon, and that lineup gets even tighter.
Yeah, without two guys getting injured, how does he even, or maybe even three guys getting injured with the way Tyler Naquin's played,
I mean, Jesse Winker's not getting any breaks.
Right.
Castellanos likes to play every day too.
Yeah, so, well, he won't be back for a while, Aristides Aquino. The Reds had a debut this week. Ryan Hendricks.
He did okay.
He looked pretty good. I don't know. I don't really even know why I'm mentioning it, but he had a good inning in his first game, and welcome to Cincinnati, Ryan Hendricks. I don't know. Well, one other guy that I want to talk about before we get into some viewer mail, and there's some good questions to kind of help dig into the week that was, but can we talk about Tyler Mahle?
Okay.
You usually don't let me talk about Tyler Mahle when we're together on this podcast.
I'll allow it.
You'll allow it this time? Ooh, you sound like a judge. Tyler Mahle has pitched in, he started 5 games, and he's 26 years old, and he looks starting to look a lot like the guy he was in the minor leagues when he just got people out over and over and over. He just seemed, again, I've always called him a poor man's Greg Maddux, which is not a fair comparison to Tyler Mahle, because nobody can be Greg Maddux, but you just watch him on the mound, and he seems like he's comfortable. He's finally kind of learned the league a little bit. Is it crazy to say that he's the ace of this team?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yes, thank you. If you said otherwise, I was gonna yell at you.
But. That's wrong. But
but he's inching into that conversation.
I just never understand how Tyler Mahle gets it done. You know, he just gets people out. And he strikes a lot of people out, too. That's the other thing. I mean, he strikes out a ton of guys. And you watch it, and you're like, well, there's not that Luis Castillo changeup. And there's, you know, he just doesn't have some of the dominating single pitches and stuff that you see other guys. And he lives upstairs a lot on that fastball and gets away with it.
Yeah.
But he gets him out.
I agree. I can't explain it. But, you know, at his age, and again, I got to keep saying this, it's early in the season. Maybe he falls off a cliff and whatever. We're talking about 5 starts. But it's you see this progression since the time he debuted. And it's very similar to what he did in the minor leagues. And I look at him, and Luis Castillo has not been good. I'm going to presume, I'm literally crossing my fingers here, that Castillo is going to be the player that we expect Castillo to be. Sonny Gray's back. He's, you know, looked really good in his start against the Dodgers over the weekend, and I expect Sonny Gray to be Sonny Gray. And if this team is going to have any level of success, having Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo, and Tyler Mahle, having Gray and Castillo be who we expected them to be, and having Tyler Mahle taking that like step up, all of a sudden that's as good a top three as you're going to see in most organizations. And you know, Mally's not the ace, but gosh. Wouldn't it be something if he challenged for that? How good would that be for the team?
It would be pretty great. And then, you know, obviously you're shortchanging Cy Young candidate Wade Miley.
Well, you know, let's talk about Wade Miley. Wade Miley's fine.
Wade Miley's doing all right.
I mean, he's good, but Reds fans like just dumped on him because he was awful in what, you know, a handful of innings when he was injured. Last year, Mahle is just, he's not a superstar. You've already given him the Cy Young Award, but as a fourth or fifth starter, do you have any issues with Wade Miley?
No. I mean, the funny thing, I mean, Wade Miley's, he's not pitching all that much better than he did last year. He's just getting a lot better luck and kind of sequencing things a little more fortuitously, but he's fine, and I also like Wade Miley pitches fast. I can get the game over in under 4 hours.
Right. Oh, man. He does pitch fast. He's got some Tom Browning in him in that way. Castillo, are we worried? This is a version of the Suarez conversation.
Yeah, I think it's the same conversation. I mean, I am worried, but I don't know what to do about it. Just sit here and fret.
Just you do a lot of fretting, don't you?
I fret, I pine, I fuss.
Castillo is not looked good, and he has this thing about, you know, cold weather, whatever. But he's, I don't know. I think he's gonna be fine, but I can't.
I don't think he's pitched in a whole lot of cold weather, has he?
Well, some, yeah. I mean, April's been colder than most months. Do the Reds actually play in September or October? They play in September, I think, right?
like this year or just generally speaking? And
just general. They don't play in October, I know. Do they play in September? It gets a little cooler in September. I can't remember.
It does. I think they had, yeah.
But, yeah, it's something to watch. I don't know. Again, same with Suarez. Just, they've been bad. But first month of the season, small sample size, whatever. Jeff Hoffman?
Sure.
Exactly. He's just
Jeff Hoffman someday will be a jersey you see on somebody's back and give it a chuckle.
Right. You're going to pick that up in a random mystery bag at Reds Fest some year. let's see. I don't know. I think probably at this point, the best thing we can do is to dive into viewer mail. Chris Garber. Are you upset?
Let's hit it.
Are you upset with that idea? You tell me.
I love it.
Every time we talk, you say, I don't want to do viewer mail this week. Why do you do that?
I do. I see. The heck with those guys.
Yeah. I don't, you don't like your adoring public. One thing I have to do is
patrons, Patreon ons.
Exactly. It's been a couple weeks since I've been here. So we got a few, new members of the family. Things are, since the season started, people are getting excited about Red Leg Nation Radio. So we've got to get some thank yous before we get started viewer mail to a few of our newest friends, and members of the family. So let's run through these, and we're going to do it kind of quickly. Chris, I want you to tell me which position these guys are playing on our beer league softball team. First is Chad Swint, Swint. I like the first name, Chad. Are you a Chadwick? If you are, it's even better.
He's a Chad. He's a Chadthony.
Chad Swint, newest member. Chad, thank you so much for joining the family. What position is Chad Swint playing?
Shortstop.
If it's a Chad, he's got to. Do you like the memes about Chads? I don't like them. I don't approve of them.
isn't Chad like the admirable guy, or at least in some way?
No, not any Chads I know.
Oh, I thought I mean in the meme.
I think in the meme it's like a kind of like a preppy guy. It's not really not the word.
You're the guy kicking sand in people's face at the beach, right?
Is that what a Chad is?
I think.
Some of you kids out there are going to have to explain that. And what's a meme?
My son likes them.
I'm just an unfrozen caveman lawyer. I don't understand your world. Chad, okay, you're a shortstop because you have the name Chad. And so, yahoo. Chad, thank you so much for joining us. Next is Jackson Latta, L-A-T-T-A. That's got to be Latta, right? Or is it Latte?
L-A-T-T-A?
Yeah.
Latta.
I'm going to say latte because you could, that's a long A at the end. You could say latte. I like a latte. I don't really like a latte. Jackson Latta. If we pronounce that wrong, I'm sorry. Just yell at me and tell me how to pronounce it. But Jackson Latta, what position is he playing?
Third?
Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he's a left-handed pitcher on the 1988 Reds.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's fighting
with... A power hitting third baseman.
No, I just think in 1988 he's competing with Oral Hershiser for an MVP.
All right, I like it.
Yeah, left-handed pitcher, number 23, Jackson Latta. Latta. A lot of thanks to you, Jackson, for joining the family. Rex Scott. Rex Scott does not even play on the Beer League softball team. I'm sorry, he's on our touring basketball team in the offseason.
I like it. Three-point shooter?
Yeah. Shooting guard. He's got some hops, though. So Rex Scott is on the basketball team.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah. We're having to start a new team because we have
kind of a cross between Rex Chapman and Byron Scott, really.
Exactly.
What the game's like.
Exactly. So good defensive player. Big-time hops, good shooting guard. Rex Scott, we had to start a new team for you. Thank you so much for joining us. Sean Stormer. Oh, I hate where my mind went with this one. Sean Stormer, Stormer. He's an unreliable
David Weathers
closer. Yeah. Yes. Stormy Weathers. I'm sorry, Sean. We love you, but you are.
I learned from George Graham that his nickname was Stormy.
Yeah, right. Good old George Graham. Yeah, you're a good enough relief pitcher. Probably shouldn't be a closer. Probably should be a middle reliever. But really happy to have you on the team. Eddie Maria. Eddie Maria. Thank you, first of all, Eddie, for joining us. What is Eddie Maria?
He's on the mound.
You think so? Yeah, that sounds like that's a relief pitcher.
Hmm.
Is he a big fan of the country supergroup Brooks and Dunn?
I don't know. Is that it? Do they have a song called Eddie Maria?
They have a song called My Maria.
Oh, that's Brooks and Dunn?
That is Brooks and Dunn, country music artist of the year, four straight years.
Radio sometimes.
Okay, so a pitcher, reliever or starter?
Reliever.
Okay.
Wasn't there an Eddie, a reliever the Reds got one year?
Eddie Guardado?
Yeah, Eddie Guardado.
Yeah, he was a twin. So, Eddie.
Was he really?
He was a twin. I think he made the All-Star game as a twin.
Oh, a Minnesota twin. I thought you meant he had a brother that looked like him.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant.
I swear to God. I swear I thought that's what you meant. And I was going to go into a whole thing about how'd you like to be a twin and have your brother in the major leagues and et cetera, et cetera. Never mind. Never mind, as they say.
We go off the rails every time. Yeah, that would stink to have a twin.
Whole show.
Eddie, thank you so much for joining us. You're a really good relief pitcher that we can trust in like the seventh inning. And the last one, I think there's only one place this person could be. Greg Mahle Sr. M-A-H-L-A-E. M-A-H-L-E. Greg Mahle Sr.
Doesn't sound like a pitcher to me.
There's never been a pitcher named Mahle, right?
That's it, so, right.
Greg, are you a related to Tyler? Because we've been complimentary of Tyler for many years. I don't know. So he's a starting pitcher. He's a number three starter, but some certain podcasters call him an ace.
He's like Ken Brett.
He's like Ken Brett.
My references on this show are getting older and older.
No, I worry about the kids that are listening because there are a few kids, evidently. They're not going to get most of these. All right, Greg, thank you, and all of you, thank you. If you want to join us, patreon.com/redlegradio. I'm really gratified by all the people that have been joining lately, and the conversation on the Slack channel is just amazing. I have a really good time, so thanks to all of you. Let's get into viewer mail. First question comes from our friend Joey Gaditza, our buddy from up north in Canada. Good day, gentlemen. Hope you're both excellent. Tucker Barnhart is hitting .302, and Tyler Stevenson, .359. Both are above-average defenders. Both are capable of hitting the big fly. Are they currently the best backstop tandem in MLB?
That makes me just think of them riding a two-person bicycle.
Yeah, yeah. They would be the best on a tandem bicycle. As baseball players, they may have been the best in April of 2021. Listen. Is Tucker Barnhart the hitter we've seen? Is Tyler Stevenson an above-average defender? I don't know that we know the answer to either of those yet. Tucker Barnhart has been great. He has been fantastic in his 60 plate appearances so far this year, and I hope he keeps hitting like this. His history doesn't show that he does hit like this, but you can have some complaints. I have no complaints about the catching tandem bicycle this year, right?
No, I'm all, they're great. I don't know who the best is, but those guys are pretty good.
Here's what I see with these two. They're fine. I've got no problem with this catching tandem, especially if Barnhart can hit just a little bit to compensate for. I mean, he's always been a good defender, but his bat's been. We're on this kind of inevitable path where I see people complain about Barnhart playing more than Stevenson and give the kid a chance. I see, Barnhart getting 60% of the play appearances, Stevenson getting 40%, and we're just kind of on this path where that's going to shift. And Stevenson's going to get 60, and Barnhart's going to get 40, and that's going to be fine. They're perfectly, to use a term Chris likes to use here on the podcast, perfectly cromulent catching tandem. You mentioned the tandem bicycles. Do you prefer the tandem bicycle or that like 1890s, bicycle with a big, huge front wheel?
We saw somebody riding one of those a couple weeks ago, and I almost crashed a car.
You did not see someone ride one of those.
He was over by the Columbus Zoo. There's like a bike path way out by the road by the Columbus Zoo, and we came around the corner, and this dude was just pedaling along, happy as can be on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, it's wonderful.
My kids are screaming out the window, look at that, look at that.
I'm in Florida last week, and I see a guy who's on a bicycle with two wheels are exactly the same size, but the seat was like 4 feet elevated, and the handlebar.
Oh, I saw that guy.
4 feet elevated. How do you, he's riding in traffic? He's moving
down,
in and out.
Down in. I saw that guy in the beach in St. Pete.
Oh my gosh, I was in St. Pete,
south of Clearwater.
I saw him in St. Petersburg.
I saw that dude. Yeah, I saw that guy last month.
No
He had cut the handlebars and the bicycle seat post and welded in like another. No, he welded in like another bike on top, right?
Yeah. You blow my mind. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. It was like two bicycles stacked on top of each other. And he, with a pole, two poles connecting them. And dude was riding like 6 feet off the ground, just riding around like it was normal.
Yeah. He's way above all the other cars and he was like darting in and out. I was like, what is going on?
Oh. Yeah, I love that guy. You can see him. You can see him from real far off.
Yeah, you can see him coming. I liked him even better than the guy. So just walking down the road with a big, some kind of huge, long snake around his neck. Just walking along. That was in Ybor City in Tampa. Just, walking down the street. Snake around his neck, as you do. All right, good question there, Joey. Let's move on to Rex Scott's question. Rex, the only member on our off-season barnstorming basketball team. All right, so I was in elementary and middle school during the years of the Big Red Machine. My favorite player was Dave Concepcion. He was consistent, dedicated, and you could count on him in the clutch. On a team with outsized personalities, he was a steady workhorse. Career member of the Reds, all-star 9 times. His stats as a Red earned him admission to our team's Hall of Fame, but I think his role on one of the greatest MLB teams ever warrant consideration for Cooperstown. What's the case to be made for David to be in the Hall of Fame? Why hasn't he been admitted yet? And what paths for admittance are left for him? I will stand behind no one in my love for Dave Concepcion. Nine-time All-Star, 5-time Gold Glover, a couple of Silver Sluggers. At one point was, he climbed into a dryer. And Tony Perez turned it on. One of my favorite stories. I can't make a case for him as a Hall of Famer. Can you, Chris?
Not anymore. I think back when he was playing and just wrapping up his career, he was one of the top hitting shortstops by far, honestly, of his era. But as the position changed and the game changed and guys like Cal Ripken and then Nomar Garciaparra and Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter came along, Concepcion's numbers just didn't look that great. And I think there's probably a little bit of Big Red Machine fatigue, possibly. Is that a way to describe it? Mm-hmm. Where, Perez is kind of a borderline Hall of Famer anyway.
Yeah, no question. I love Concepcion, but I look at the Jay Jaffe's a baseball writer, and he created this what's called a JAWS system that kind of looks at what it takes to be in the Hall of Fame. What gets you election to Hall of Fame, and compares players. It's more intricate than that, but he has Concepcion rated as the 46th best shortstop of all time. Which, if you think about it, all the people that played shortstop in the big leagues. That's pretty doggone good. It's not a criticism of Dave Concepcion to say that he's not a Hall of Famer. He's like Hall of Very Good. 40.1 career wins above replacement. Here's who the JAWS system has him behind: Dick Bartel, who I've never heard of, played at 1927, 1946. Behind Rafael Furcal, Andrelton Simmons, Rico Petrocelli of the Red Sox, and a guy that I think it's a joke to consider Omar Vizquel a Hall of Famer in my mind. It's a complete joke. He's not even close. And under the JAWS system, which determines, which is a way to look at who's a good candidate for the Hall of Fame, Vizquel's ahead of Concepcion. Now, I would give me Concepcion any day, but I don't know. I just think he's on the wrong side of whatever that line is. He's on the wrong side of it, and that's not... The average shortstop in the Hall of Fame, 67.5 wins above replacement. Dave Concepcion, 40.1. I mean, again, it's not a criticism to say he's not quite good enough. He was really good, right? Just not good enough.
I agree.
Did you literally just agree with me?
I did. Simply and completely.
Gosh. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. All right, next question comes from our friend Mike Perry. I'm going to give this one to you, Chris Garber. It seems like people are polarized about their opinions of David Bell. He's the Reds manager. Some say he's Some say he's prepared, analytical, and makes good choices. I know Red Leg Nation Radio has been more critical of Bell's managerial performance, though. What grade do you think Nick Kroll, Reds general manager Nick Kroll, would give David Bell? And how much longer do you think Bell will manage the team? What do you think?
Incomplete?
Incomplete, yeah.
It is, you know, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm higher on David Bell than a lot of Reds fans are. I don't see – he does things that don't work out, but I don't see anything like completely bonkers, or maybe I'm just getting older and pay less attention. But there's nothing about David Bell that makes me think he's, you know, actively harming the team, which is kind of the most you can ask for compared to, you know, a lot of managers.
Before we
– C+.
C+, that's not a great – Chris just sent me a picture of this guy on the bike.
I don't think it's the same guy.
I don't think it's the guy either, but the bike looked a lot like that. Gosh, it was wonderful. I started out by thinking when David Bell was hired, and early on, I was like, well, this is a guy that really kind of is open to, you know, analytics and thinking outside the box. And I've gotten more and more disappointed the longer he's been around. I think that I don't think the Reds are going to fire him this year now, because it's going to require paying him for the rest of the year and also paying another manager. I don't see Bob Castellini doing that. I give him a C- probably. So we're not that far apart, but, it seems to me he wants to remind everybody that he's in the park too often, and he makes moves for the sake of making moves. And I've always said, when in his career has his team ever outperformed expectations? Never. Not once. And usually this season, maybe not, but usually they've underperformed expectations. Well, even this year, you could argue it. So he's just a guy, and I don't see any reason to think he's talented as a manager. I mean, I think if the Reds are, you know, 10 games under 500 at the All-Star break, maybe he gets fired. But I think he probably finishes the season. I don't see him getting fired. Do you?
Nope.
Rock on. Joe Farsing asks this question at patreon.com/redlegradio. Misters Dotson and Garber.
Messers?
It says Misters. I wish. Yeah.
All right. I never understand how you pronounce that, but I always liked it.
I agree. Word. Are Rod and Todd Flanders' appearances based...
Already enjoying it.
I know, me too. Are Rod and Todd Flanders... These are characters on The Simpsons. This is a television program.
Animated
television program. Are Rod and Todd Flanders' appearances based off Ron Oster and Ron Robinson? He says, seriously, check out Oster's 1982 Donruss card. Now, I've already looked at it. I want you to go look up Ron Oster's 1982 Donruss card. And look at it. I think you may have a point, Joe. Ron Oster and Ron Robinson, Rod and Todd Flanders. I love it. He has a follow-up question. By the way, Ron Oster, what do we think about Ron Oster?
I think he looks more like a Duke boy in that picture than he does any sort of young religious child.
Just the good old boys. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you ever saw. Been in trouble with the law.
He's got his hat on under his helmet.
Does he? He does, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. See, that's a move that I use in Little League. You don't see that this often these days.
That's a Little League move.
Ever tell you about the guy in Little League whose head was so big they had to remove the padding from the helmet so he could get it on his head? That's safety, right?
Oh, it's beautiful. I always hear the legend of the guy who the high school has to go buy a special football helmet from some sort of big and tall head store. Right.
Some industrial strength helmet store. This kid, yeah, 12 years old. We don't care about your safety, but we're told we have to put a helmet on you. Let's just take all the padding out. It'll fit over your huge melon. Joe has a second question, follow-up. Why does grape nuts contain neither grapes nor nuts? What is the deal with grape nuts?
Marketing genius that came up with that one.
Why do you park on a driveway and drive on a parkway?
Oh, that's pretty good. I can almost see the white tennis shoes.
Right. Yeah, I know, right? Eddie Maria. Eddie asks, as you probably know, a person can donate a kidney and still live a normal life. I did not know that. Did you know that?
I've heard it.
I have heard it as well. Since between the two of you, there are two up for grabs, so we each have a kidney we're willing to donate, evidently, in this scenario. Which two of these three people are you going to donate yours to? So it's three people here. We have two kidneys to give out. Who do we give them to? Tom Brenneman, Bob Castellini, or David Bell?
Come on.
You say come on, but I don't know what your answer is to this.
I don't like this game.
I don't really like this game either. I'm giving one to David Bell because I don't fundamentally object to David Bell. I think he's a bad manager, but
I have two. How many do I? One for you and one for me?
Yeah. So I'm giving mine to David Bell. Who are you giving yours to?
Whoever that needs it more. I don't know. There's some sort of process for this.
I'm giving it to Bob Castellini because he can probably pay for it. He'll give me a lot of money.
Old kidney.
Oh, Michael Henry. Michael Jordan Henry, given Shogo Akiyama's imminent return to the major league team and the crowded outfield, what do you do with Nixon Zell? He's currently the third worst hitter on the team by OPS Plus. Do you play him off the bench, sharing time with Akiyama and Naquin, Tyler Naquin, or do you option him down to AAA so he can get regular at-bats?
He's down there drinking ketchup if it's me.
Really? You're sending...
Optional site. Alternate site.
You're sending Senzel down? He had four hits.
Yep.
Three of those, I think it's Clayton Kershaw.
Uh-huh.
Nah, you're out of your mind. Okay. Let me ask you this. You're taking Shogo Akiyama or Tyler Naquin over Nixon Zell?
No, I'm taking Shogo Akiyama over Nixon Zell, and I want Nixon Zell to play every day rather than sit on the bench next to Taylor Naquin.
Okay. And that's not unreasonable. I get where you're going, but what have you seen from Shogo Akiyama that makes you believe he has a better chance of being successful than Nixon Zell? And I love Shogo Akiyama. I'm excited to see what he can do if he's ever healthy. But answer me that one. Riddle me that or something. I don't know.
I think, number one, he has many years of professional baseball experience where he has been pretty successful.
Was it like in another country or something?
It's at least he's, there's no casts being worn when he's playing in those games. What did he do the last month of the season last year? 317, 456 on base. I don't know that Senzel has a month like that in the majors.
No, you're right. You're right. Senzel's a, and I've been spoken glowingly about Nick Senzel, but he's another example of at some point you got to grab the brass ring. I always say you got to perform.
You do always say that.
I'm sorry. You've been on this podcast with me many times. You know that I repeat myself all the time.
Yep. I will. I also amend my statement because Nick Senzel did have a pretty good month, his like second month in the major leagues.
Exactly. So you're starting to backtrack is what you're telling me.
Yeah, because I'm wrong. I don't know. I just don't feel like he's where he would want to be to be successful right now, so I would probably give him some time.
Okay, and listen, I understand that sentiment. I just look at it like Shogo Akiyama, Tyler Naquin, Nixon Zell. Who's got a chance of being a real player? It's between Senzel and Akiyama, and I like Tyler Naquin. I'm happy that the Reds have him. He's been fantastic by and large so far as a bench bat, basically. I don't know. I'm not ready yet to give up on the ceiling that Senzel still may have. And maybe I'm wrong with that. Maybe I'm deluded. I will concede that. But
you'll be shocked to know he's going to turn 26 years old in a month or 2 months.
Okay. But do you hear what you just said? He's 25.
Yeah.
Do we give up on kid at 25?
No, but I don't know that he's like guaranteed a spot in the lineup.
Listen, stop being correct. Okay? I'm sick of it.
All right.
We wrote a stupid book, and I had to defer to you every time because you were correct. Michael Henry also asked, what's the rationale for ever starting Kyle Farmer ahead of Alex Blandino? Is there a rationale?
I mean, other than like they all have to start every now and then to stay fresh and ready to play. I'm not going to lose any sleep over how much one of those guys plays versus the other.
Right. Blandino's better, I think. But, I mean, we're talking about, you know, the last couple guys on the roster. So, I like Blandino. He can pitch.
I do, too. He's playing pretty well.
Yeah, no, he gets on base. I like Blandino. I don't see any situation where I got to decide between Blandino and Farmer, and I'm picking Farmer. But there are other things you need to consider, which, again, got to play Farmer sometimes, and, you know, there's position, which position we're trying to fill today. Maybe you choose Farmer. I don't know. I feel like I slam Kyle Farmer a lot on here. I don't mean to do that. Seems like a nice guy. He searches his own name on Twitter. That's always a good sign.
Oh, that's not a good look.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. So
that I didn't know. I'm fine with Kyle Farmer.
Yeah, he's fine. Phil Thompson, do you think there's any chance we'll sign Jesse Winker to a long-term deal before season's end? If we did, what do you think the terms of the contract would look like? Here's what I'll say, and I'm never good at this. What do the terms look like? I'd sign him for as many years as you can sign him. I think you want Jesse Winker around as long as you keep him around. I don't see any reason he's going to be, for the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, he's going to hurt your team. And so I'm not gonna answer the question of the terms of the contract, because I don't know what that it changes. We don't know what the financial situation of the teams are, what would be fair, what would be not fair. But I'll say this: the Reds should be if and I don't trust Bob Castellini to do this because it's going to require him to spend money. But man, this would be a perfect opportunity to really be pressing Winker and Tyler Mahle, and probably Luis Castillo right now to sign multi-year deals. Anybody else you'd add into that, or do you disagree with any of those three?
No, I think that's good. I would, yeah. I mean, I think Winker's long term a first baseman, right?
Yeah, I think so. They don't ever play him there or work him out there, but yeah, he's a perfect first baseman.
Yeah,
to take over for Votto.
I would support it.
Tyler Mahle, you sign him?
I don't know. I'm always like the pitchers. I'm always a little.
Yeah, a little hesitant.
I'm a little hesitant. You know, I mean, a lot of people would rather we've signed Anthony DeSclafani last year, and I don't know how that would have worked out long term.
Remember his nickname was Disco?
Yeah.
That was fun.
I remember that guy.
That was fun. I like Disco. Don Summer. The Bee Gees. Anyway, yeah, I do think there's a chance we'll sign Winker to a long-term deal before the season's end, but I don't know what the chances is because that's going to depend on whether Bob Castellini has decided to, not invest in another vacation home and instead invest in his team. You know, he has multiple vacation homes and a private jet. Did you know that, Chris?
No, I didn't know that.
It's true. It's true.
Really, I didn't know he's wealthy.
Yeah, he's. He's wealthy.
Well, then, you know, that should be the Reds should be pretty good then if they've got an owner who's got all that money.
Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you?
You could get, like, shortstops and relief pitchers and what have you.
Oh, man, it'd be great.
Would you like to have what have you on your team?
I would like to have what have you. Third base.
See?
Kyle Kapler, your answer may not be too shocking, but who's the leading candidate to be the 2021 obscure former Red of the Year? Now, you and I have had this conversation about obscure former Reds, and it was one of the most fun conversations I've had on this podcast.
I could do that every time.
I could too. You know, who's in the mix? Max Schrock is certainly in the mix, I think.
Yeah. Your boy Hoffman there.
Jeff Hoffman could be in that mix. Mark Payton, he's got 7 plate appearances this year. He's probably in that mix. Heath Hembry?
We'll see.
I'm giving it to Max Schrock at this point.
He's got the best name for it, for sure.
Oh, man. Just an incredible name. Max Schrock. Good question, Kyle Kapler. I don't remember what position we gave you, but I hope we gave you a pitcher because, you know, initials KK, we need to, that's a pitcher I want out there. Richard Stallard, my buddy Richard Stallard, asked this question. Who'd be your favorite starting nine in your Reds watching years? With the big red machine years 70 to 79 excluded, he says, which that wasn't my Reds watching years. So not the best, but just the favorite starting nine. Let's run around them really quickly. First base, Joey Votto.
Oh, so it's like I get to have a whenever I want, or it's not a like not the 1986 Reds.
No, it's just since the big red machine, basically for us. Not the best, but just your favorite at each position.
Now, do I can I take your?
Yes.
Can I say a Joey Votto? I don't have to say like Todd Benzinger since Votto's taken.
All right. No, we can say the same one.
Okay. All right. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Joey Votto.
All right. Second base. 1, 2, 3. Max Schrock.
Hold on. Bill Doran.
I started to think Bill Doran. I'm going to go D'Angelo Jimenez. No, I'm not. Second base, I want to say Brandon Phillips, but I can't really pull the trigger on that. Yeah. It's favorite. I'm going to go with Mariano Duncan.
That's good. I was going to go with him or Bill Doran.
Shortstop, this is an easy one, right? Paul Janisch.
Felipe Lopez.
Oh, boy. Come on, get out of here. Barry Larkin.
Okay.
Third base.
Buddy Bell.
Really?
I don't know. Favorite?
My favorite, Chris Sabo, right? That's my favorite.
Didn't do it for me.
So who's yours?
He was crazy.
Buddy Bell, really?
I was a big Buddy Bell fan.
Okay, there you go then.
He was like the first guy that came back to the Reds who was like, you know, worth anything.
You are literally the first person on planet Earth that ever said these words. I was a big Buddy Bell fan.
Nah.
Come on, you were.
But your Reds manager, David Bell, said it.
Oh, that's true. No, Sabo is the answer there for me. I'm not casting aspersions on your choice. Outfield, three outfielders.
Well, Davis is obviously number one.
Eric Davis is in my
Eric
three.
Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Winker might be in my favorite three.
Wow.
Kevin Mitchell.
Okay. I'm going with Eric Davis.
Oh, Adam Dunn. I forgot about Adam Dunn.
Adam Dunn. Yeah, Adam Dunn is in mine. And I think I may say, I want to say Eddie Milner, but I'm not going to. Or Gary Reedus.
Jay Bruce.
Here's who's between. Jay Bruce, Billy Hamilton, and Dave Parker, I think. And Kevin Mitchell. Those are my four. So I'm taking six outfielders.
All right.
Catcher?
Ryan LaVarnway.
Not even close. Pitcher?
Jose Rio, I think.
Mario Soto for me.
All right. To me, it's either Rio or Cueto.
Oh, Cueto. Oh,
Like who I enjoyed the most.
Yeah. I'm sticking with Soto, but Cueto is close. That's a fun conversation. Cool. Maybe could be a longer conversation. All right. Chuck Nichols asks, thanks for the question, Richard. Chuck Nichols asks, hi guys. Glad to see Chad is back from Hawaii. No, it's Florida. Oh, he means that I was on the Reds Alert podcast with the Hawaiian host. Can we all just take a moment and appreciate how awesome Jesse Winker has been this year? I'm really excited to see the back of his baseball card at the end of the season. We can take a moment for that, I think, right?
Let's do it. Take another moment.
You literally put him in your top three favorite Reds outfielders of your lifetime.
It's a recency bias, but yeah.
Gosh, he's getting up there. He's fun, good personality, can flat out hit. Can
I say something about baseball cards right now?
Dude, you know, how long have we been doing this podcast? You don't have to ask. The answer is always yes to that question.
Do you know you can't get baseball cards right now?
Why not? I bought some a couple weeks ago.
I don't know. I don't know if Topps is short on them or if Topps is trying to create scarcity or if people are hoarding them all up, but they're almost impossible to get. Supposedly, the kids these days are waiting outside Target when the truck rolls in, the Topps truck.
No, this is true. It's not kids, though. It's 40-year-old men.
Yeah, and then they put them in a binder.
Right. I think that's what...
But no, I don't... Seriously, we were looking to get some baseball cards for my kid's birthday, and... The found five packs at Five Below.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. It's a there's a run on baseball cards these days, and I don't know whether it's scarcity or what, but the sports card market is booming, and I actually did buy some. I saw some. I was at a Walmart. You've heard of the Walmart, right?
Well, sure.
And
sure.
I saw, and I said, I'm going to buy a pack just because it's fun to buy a pack. And I got Roselli Iglesias in the pack, so I was happy.
In Reds uniform?
In a Reds uniform, yes. Terribly exciting. Topps Heritage. I like that set. So you weren't able to get any?
What are the Topps Heritage? Sorry, what are the Topps Heritage look like this year?
I can't remember which year. You know, they mimic a previous year. They're pretty cool. I can't remember exactly which year it was. I'll have to send it to you. I took a picture of it because that's what I do. I take pictures of every baseball card I get. No. John Majewski asks, is it time for Eugenio Suarez to start drinking beer again? His start to the season is yet another reason to never, ever believe he's in the best shape of his life spring training hype. It's a great question.
That is brilliant. I just want to let that sit there a little while.
It is time for him to start drinking beer again, right?
I think so. I mean, I always would recommend that for performance reasons, but he clearly needs to change something up.
It doesn't enhance my performance, but maybe it will with him. I don't know. All right, one more question here, Chris. Good question, by the way, John. Love it. Risto Neely, Chad and Chris, I distinctly remember a Sunday afternoon at Crosley Field in 1963 watching a rookie second baseman play against Sandy Koufax and the Dodgers. Much as I've sit in front of my television in 2021 watching a rookie second baseman playing against Urias and the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. Both of these rookies have captured the attention of the press, the fans, and their teammates by their play on the field and in the batter's box.
Helmets flying off.
Helmets flying off everywhere. I'm wondering if by some strange possibility history could repeat itself. I'm sure both of you know the two players I'm referring to. Your thoughts, please. Who's he talking about? Kyle Farmer and D'Angelo Jimenez?
Don Blasingame. And he's referring to the disgraced former Cincinnati Red Pete Rose and John India, current Reds second baseman.
Not yet disgraced second baseman.
No, he's graced.
South in India. He's graced, yes. Look, I'm excited about what Jonathan India has done. And I think the last time you and I were on this podcast, we kind of poo-pooed the idea that India was going to be great. And it's not like he's been a superstar.
Maybe there's a little bit of poo.
A little poo. Lots of poo on this podcast usually. He started out hot. His numbers are not good right now. Here's the difference, but if we're going to talk about the difference between Jonathan India and Pete Rose. Jonathan India debuted at age 24. Pete Rose debuted at age 21. That's a big difference. And in his age 20,
he was almost 22.
Just a few days from 22 now to look at it, but he had a good season. He was roughly an average hitter at age 22, we'll say. If Jonathan India can be an average hitter at 24, that'd be fantastic. I love it. I'm all for it. He's not an average hitter right now, but he's learning the league, whatever. He has some talent.
Jonathan India needs to play to 2045. I want to point that out right now. 2045 to be play as long as Pete Rose did, at which point he will be 49 years old.
Yeah, right.
He's going to need, how many hits does he have now?
16.
So he's got 4,240 to go.
You're pooing again.
I am pooing, but it's fun. India's fun. He's cool. You know, Rose had a really good minor league career too. I mean, he didn't just show up. I mean, he tore the cover off the ball at Tampa and Macon in 61 and 62. So he was, I doubt they had top prospect list back then, but Rose would have been really high up there, I think.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, what did Sparky say about Thurman Munson? Don't embarrass that young man by comparing him to John Bench. India can still be a really quality player. And I'm happy to have him around, whatever. But I changed my mind. I think he's probably going to end his career with more hits than anyone in the history of baseball.
Even Ichiro?
Even Hit King Ichiro. Yes. India is probably going to be the best player, best hitter in history if you listen to Pete Rose fans. And I'm not, Pete Rose is Pete Rose, but he was good. People act like he wasn't good. He was good. People now want to say because, they don't like him personally and because he's not an Inner Circle Hall of Famer. But India's probably not going to be. Last question about India here, and this is a viewer mail question from me to you, Chris Garber.
All right.
Jonathan India's full name is Jonathan Joseph India. Would you poo on him less if he went by JJ India or Johnny India or Joe India or Johnny Joe India? Has he chosen the wrong moniker? That's my question.
J. John India. I do think Johnny India would be pretty awesome in a Point Break kind of way. I'm fine with his name. I think he's got a cool name. Everything about him is cool, man. There's no doubt. No doubt he's got the flow.
Are you jealous of his hair? I am.
Yeah, thank God this is a radio podcast, but my hair and my kids are finally learning this. Because, it's popular now for the kids to grow their hair out again.
Oh, yes, I know. As my son has demonstrated.
And my kids are like looking at that and wanting to get into it. But my hair doesn't grow long. My hair just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, I could let it grow for 6 months and it wouldn't touch my collar. It would just continue to grow Oscar Gambly.
Please do that.
No.
Please.
No. Well, my son may replicate it and give you a look at what it looks like, but it's not good.
My son, he's grown his out and not really out, but it's just, it's curly. So his kind of gets bigger rather than longer, I always think about when he was probably, I don't know, 6 years old maybe. And we were, wrestling around in on the living room floor as we do with our kids. And, he's on my back and, we're just goofing around and then he stops and he looks and he says, Dad, your hair's falling off. It was rude, wasn't it?
Falling off.
I love it. It's the classic family tale.
That's great.
Good old Casey. I love you, buddy. All right. Anything else you want to talk about other than Max Schrock?
No, I'm good. You'll get you next week on the Max Schrock podcast.
Exactly. This is the TJ Antone cast. Next week's the Max Schrock cast. All right. Thank you all for listening. Go find us everywhere you find podcasts. We're there. Wherever you find your best podcast for free, we're there. They're just giving them away. So why not subscribe to us and
give one to a friend.
Give one to a friend even. Yes. If you want to join us at Patreon, patreon.com/redlegradio, feel free. We have a good time over there. It's a good time with talking to the family and whatever. If you want to join us, good. If not, whatever. Screw you. Chris, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. I always have a good time every time we get together.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We are Red Leg Nation Radio for Chris Garber and Max Schrock. This is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from redlegnation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app and join us for discussion of all things Reds at redlegnation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.